Chapter 27. When it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they committed Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Augustan company of soldiers. We boarded a ship from Adramyttium, which was about to sail along the coast of Asia. So we went to sea. Aristarchus from Thessalonica in Macedonia went with us. The next day we landed at the city of Sidon, where Julius treated Paul kindly and allowed him to go to his friends to receive their care. From there we went to sea and sailed under the lee of Cyprus close to the island because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the sea past Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra, a city of Lycia. There, the centurion found a ship from Alexandria that was going to sail to Italy. He put us on it. When we had sailed slowly for many days and had finally arrived with difficulty near Cnidus, and the wind no longer allowed us to go that way, we sailed along the sheltered side of Crete, opposite Salmone. We sailed along the coast with difficulty until we came to a certain place called Fair Havens, which is near the city of Lycia. We had now taken much time. The time of the Jewish fast also had passed, and it had now become dangerous to sail. So Paul warned them and said, "Men, I see that the voyage we are about to take will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion was more persuaded by the master and by the owner of the ship than by those things that were spoken by Paul. Because the harbor was not easy to spend the winter in, most of the sailors advised to sail from there, and if by any means we could reach the city of Phoenix, to spend the winter there. Phoenix is a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a south wind began to blow gently, the sailors thought that they had what they needed. So they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete close to the shore. But after a short time, a wind of hurricane force, called the Northeaster, began to beat down from the island. When the ship was caught by the storm and could no longer head into the wind, we had to give way to the storm and were driven along by the wind. We sailed along the lee of a small island called Cauda, and with difficulty we were able to secure the lifeboat. When they had hoisted the lifeboat up, they used its ropes to bind the hull of the ship. They were afraid that they should run upon the sandbars of Syrtis, so they lowered the sea anchor and were driven along. We took such a violent battering by the storm that the next day they began throwing the cargo overboard. On the third day, the sailors threw overboard the ship's equipment with their own hands. When the sun and stars did not shine on us for many days, and the great storm still beat upon us, any more hope that we should be saved was abandoned. When they had gone long without food, then Paul stood up among the sailors and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete so as to get this injury and loss. Now I urge you to take courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the loss of the ship. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong, whom also I worship, his angel stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And see, God in his kindness has given to you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, have courage, men, for I trust God that it will happen just as it was told to me. But we must run aground upon some island.' When the 14th night had come, as we were driven this way and that in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors thought that they were approaching some land. They took soundings and found 20 fathoms. After a little while, they took more soundings and found 15 fathoms. They were afraid that we might crash on the rock, so they lowered 4 anchors from the stern and prayed that morning would come soon. The sailors were looking for a way to abandon the ship and had lowered the lifeboat into the sea and pretended that they would throw down the anchors from the bow. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let it drift away. When daylight was coming on, Paul encouraged them all to take some food. He said, "This day is the 14th day that you have been on constant guard and have gone without food. You have not eaten anything. So I urge you to share some food, for this is necessary for you to survive. For not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." When he had said this, he took bread, and he thanked God in the sight of everyone. Then he broke the bread and began to eat. Then they were all encouraged, and they also took food. We were 276 souls on the ship. When they had eaten enough, they made the ship lighter by throwing out the wheat into the sea. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a beach, and they discussed whether they could drive the ship onto it. So they cut loose the anchors and left them in the sea. At the same time, they loosed the ropes of the rudders and raised the foresail to the wind, and so they headed to the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow was stuck there and remained unmovable, and the stern was broken up by the force of the waves. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them could swim away and escape. But the centurion wanted to save Paul, so he stopped their plan, and he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. Then the rest of the men should follow, some on planks and some on other things from the ship. In this way, it happened that all of us were brought safely to land.